welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We want to study a matter of great power, more power than most of us realize. Anything that has great power must be used with great care. The power of influence is staggering, and actually beyond our ability to measure to its fullest because it is so great and so far-reaching. Influence is a quality that everyone possesses in varying degrees. Now, this study, therefore, is very practical to everyone who hears these words. It should be of great concern to every Christian. Now, what we have in mind for this lesson is not to deal with many specifics, but to stress the reality of the existence of influence and the kinds of influence. Well, what is influence? Influence is a moral and spiritual force that has the power and capacity to affect other people, conditions, and situations. Jesus presented this moral force in two figures in the Sermon on the Mount. It is as salt. In Matthew 5 and verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Again, it is as light. In Matthew 5:14 through 16, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Influence is also pictured as leaven. In Matthew 13:33, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. Now Paul recognized this analogy between leaven and influence when he wrote in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 6, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Friend, there are two kinds of influence. Some influence is bad and detrimental to those it touches. It is harmful to those who are affected by it. It leads people away from God rather than toward God. And such was the influence of Solomon's wives upon him and led him into idolatry, 1 Kings chapter 11. The influence of the Pharisees was also considered harmful. In Matthew 23, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Consider the influence of that which is called Jezebel in Revelation 2 and verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now this may have had reference to a person, or maybe to simply an evil influence in the midst of that church. Even the influence of Peter was detrimental on one occasion in the city of Antioch. Paul wrote in Galatians 2 and verse 13, and the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas was also carried away with their dissimulation. Now this was when Peter bowed beneath the pressure of Jewish brethren to disassociate himself from Gentile brethren. Paul once warned, evil companions corrupt good morals. Now this is due to the power of influence, 1 Corinthians 15:33. And Solomon wrote, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good, Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 18. This, again, is due to bad influence. But there is also good influence, which helps others, and goes a long way in leading others toward the right and the straight and the good way. It is beneficial in nature. Now such was the influence of Mordecai in Esther 4 and verse 14. When Esther balked at approaching the king of Persia on behalf of the Jews, Mordecai advised, For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, and then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Now this was encouragement enough for Esther to act courageously in bringing about the deliverance for the Jews from the wicked and sinister plot of Haman. Dorcas was a woman of good influence. At her death, Peter was called by her friends. And when he arrived, the scripture says, "When he was come, they brought him unto the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them." Acts 9 and verse 9. Consider the love and the consideration shown by brethren toward Paul as he, when he was a prisoner, was making his way toward Rome. In Acts chapter 28 and verse 15, "And from thence, when thy brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Epiphorum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage." Now their influence was a good influence on Paul. Yes, we could name others, such as the influence of Lydia on her household, like that of Cornelius on his household and on the Jews, and the Philippian jailer also on his family. The truth of the matter, every word, every deed, every attitude, however small it may seem, is either for good or for evil. Nothing said or done is totally without significance. And there's another fact, friend, that cannot be overlooked. Every person has influence, either to use or to abuse. In Romans 14 and verse 7, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." The teaching simply is that we all have influence. And there is no substance to the claim, "What I do is nobody's business but my own." We're even born with influence. The very entrance and presence into the world of a child changes almost everything around him. Just consider how it rearranges everything pertaining to the family. Meals, trips, work habits, rest, anything, everything must be adjusted because of the impact of the new person just born. Now, that is a powerful influence. We influence other people, and other people influence us. You see, influence is a two-way street. For this reason, we must be careful regarding what we do, with whom we have close association, what we say, as well as what we allow ourselves to hear, what we permit ourselves to see. Such affects our thinking. Our conduct, our appearance, our speech, actions and attitudes, where we go, everything has a bearing on our influence. Thankfully, there are many constructive influences in the world, and they come from many sources. We must seek those good influences and allow ourselves to be affected by them. Now, this is reason enough to seek out Christians. You might recall that following the crucifixion that Peter said, "I go a-fishing." And others said, "We also go with thee," John 21 and verse 3. Peter influenced them. Hosea 4 and verse 9, "And there shall be like people, like priest." Now this gives recognition of influence. Cannot we see the influence of the 10 faithless spies who returned from spying out the land of Canaan, and the effect that they had on the entire nation of Israel? Joshua 14 and verse 8 says, "They made the heart of the people melt." Their influence was very detrimental. Again, we never do lose our influence. Now, our influence may change from good to bad, or vice versa. But we always retain our influence to some degree, even after we are dead. It is never quite exhausted. Even when redirected, it remains. Like radioactive materials, like the drop of radium on a wood floor, it can't be brushed up and washed away, even burned, and traces of the activity will even be found in the ashes, in the water, in the brushes. It cannot be destroyed. And our influence has an eternal effect. and what a sobering thought that is. You see, friend, they do not bury our influence in the coffin when they bury our body. This can be the cause for rejoicing, and it can be a cause for regret, depending upon the kind of influence we've left behind us. Revelation 14 and verse 13, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Hebrews 11 and verse 4, speaking of Abel, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh." Hebrews chapter 12 teaches us that we have a great crowd of witnesses who have left their mark on the world, who have left lessons to be learned, which are useful even now after they have long since left the scene. Did not Peter teach that possibility of a faithful wife influencing her husband to become a child of God, not through constant preaching, as much as by a good life and a good example? 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 through 6. This is a matter of influence. Consider the woman who anointed the head of Jesus in Matthew chapter 26. Jesus said of her, "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her." Does not her influence live even yet? The sins of Jeroboam infected the national life of Israel during his lifetime, but also long after he died. When other kings did wickedly, they were compared with the evil of Jeroboam. The iniquities of fathers have affected generations. Our influence can and will affect people, people that we will never meet, never know, who will not even know our influence is affecting them. But it can and does and will affect them. Therefore, is it not evident that we must guard and protect and cherish and properly use and never abuse our influence? We shall stand before God, friend, in judgment and give an account, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. And among those things for which we shall answer is what we did about influence. Romans 14, 13, "Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." 1 Corinthians 8, verse 9 and 13 tells us, "But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend." You see, in both of these passages, Paul is concerned with influence on others. In Matthew 18 and verse 6, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea." How important it is, friend, to use our influence. You see, we can never have the attitude, "I do not care what others think. What I do is my business alone." That simply is not so. And it cannot be allowed in the lives of those who would profess to follow Christ. One of the finest compliments that could be paid to an individual is that it's easier to be good when he or she is nearby. Thanks be to God for those people who are always sources of encouragement to follow the Lord, who live in such a fashion as to make you want to do better. We close these thoughts by telling of an instance that occurred in a place where I preached in a gospel meeting. A young man, about 23 years of age, was baptized, and his wife was restored. Because of their example, coupled with teaching, of course, two sisters obeyed the gospel later that week. Many people have been good examples in leading others to obey the gospel. On the other hand, many have set the wrong example and exerted a negative influence on others by their persistent refusal to obey the gospel. We do not want nor expect people to obey Christ simply because somebody else does. But neither can we discount the tremendous influence for good that is exerted when one comes forward to obey Christ. Parents need to think seriously about the influence they have on their children when they refuse to come to Christ and they live their lives before their children. What a glorious influence is used when they obey. When children learned by their influence that the way of Christ is the way to live, then God is glorified and souls are saved. And friend, what is your influence? What kind of influence is it? We shall answer to God regarding it whether we consider it great or small. Make it a good influence, and God will bless you. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.